Hello and welcome once again. Today I want to continue to talk about the pattern of the two witnesses. Before I dig into that, I wanted to add one thought that I forgot to add on my last one. I wanted to talk for just a moment about John. John did no miracles. And in my mind, I imagined John preaching down by the river, and I asked myself, what did he say? What did he say? John did no miracles, and yet thousands of people would come down to the river. Thousands of people gathered around to listen to what he had to say. His preaching was so powerful and so moving that he would draw crowds, and it garnered the attention of the religious powers that be, to the point where they themselves came down to the river to find out what he was doing, to question him and ask, who do you think you are? This is a man who lived in the wilderness and ate bugs and honey and wore animal skins, and yet his preaching was so powerful that people came to listen. I think about that a lot. So, moving on from there, knowing that we have two witnesses, we talked about Elijah, the other one is Moses. Elijah makes sense because the spirit of Elijah, powerful preaching in order to be able to stir up the people and prepare them for the coming of the Lord. That makes sense. But what about Moses? Why would the other witness be Moses? Why not send Abraham? Why not send anyone else who was famous in the faith? Why not send someone else? Well, the best answer that I can give you for Moses is because he wrote Scripture. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, the foundational documents that underpinned the entire faith of the Jewish people. Everything else that got written afterward had to be tied to those first five books. And when we think about the importance of Scripture, I'll turn your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You know this verse. It says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I believe that that is true, that all Scripture is given by inspiration. Also true, though, is that God used the intellect of Moses to lead those people. He used the intellect of Moses to write those Scriptures. If you look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 8, I want to show you something interesting. Matthew chapter 19, verse 8. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had, or somebody, who was it? Let me just double check. Yeah, the Pharisees came unto him, tempting him, saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus quoted them Scripture and told them, in verse 5, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Okay, there's Scripture, right? But the response was, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? That is a complicated question that has a very good explanation. But Jesus said this. He said, he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. The hardness of their hearts caused Moses to write in this piece of Scripture. Moses had an influence over Scripture? Yes, that's right. God definitely inspired Moses, but at the same time, Moses put in this piece of scripture because of the hardness of their hearts. It was written into their laws that they could write a writing of divorcement. And now if you go back and study that, you'll find that that was for the benefit of the women who were being divorced because they had a limited number of rights. But that's off topic. But I wanted to point this one out because here was Moses having an influence over the laws that got written. So God was using his influence or using his intellect and using his education to his benefit. Okay? So I think about that pattern. Who was Moses? Moses was the person who laid down the foundational doctrines and the foundational scriptures that underpinned the entire Jewish church or Jewish faith. So God had to continue that pattern somewhere, and when he did, he continued that with Paul. If you look, you'll find that Moses and Paul had a lot of similarities. So both Moses and Paul were educated in the systems of the world's superpower of the day. Moses in Egypt and Paul in Rome. They were both poor public speakers. They both were involved in murder. They were both converted by a light. Okay? Moses was sent to confront Pharaoh about the plight of his people, and Paul was sent to testify in front of Caesar. And there are a lot more parallels that you'll find between those two if you go back and look. So Moses and Paul, both being highly intellectual and highly educated men, were still chosen by God to write the foundational scriptures. There's nobody who wrote more of the New Testament than Paul. There's no one who wrote more explanation than Paul, who laid out the connection between the Old Testament and the New. How was it that God went from his processes in the Old Testament and continued them in the New Testament? How was it that Jesus fulfilled all righteousness? He fulfilled all the law. Paul was the one who explained all of that. So, was Paul able to have an influence over the scriptures? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Okay? He said, "For I would that all men were even as myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain," this is verse 9, "but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is very better to marry than to burn." So, what is preferable? It is better to marry than to burn. But Paul was able to write in to the scripture his own point of view. Was that point of view in contradiction to what God had to say? No, but he was clearly saying that this was his point of view and spelled it out that way. God used Paul's intellect and his education. Remember that he was highly educated also in the law of Israel, the law of Moses. That's how he was able to tie the Old Testament in with all of this testimony of Jesus. So, Moses and Paul were examples of God using a ministry of that type to establish the faith. Moses established the Jewish faith, and Paul established the Christian faith. He laid out those foundational doctrines upon which all of the things that we believe are set. Yes, I'm not discounting Jesus or any of the other writers of the New Testament, but I wanted to point out that Paul was the one who had the most material and explained in detail a lot more things. He was the one that set up. He's the one that gave us the fivefold ministry. He was the one that taught us many, many things. Okay. So I hope you can see by now that Moses and Paul were on one end. If you look at Paul as being the first reformer, the first church age messenger, and then you look at the Elijah spirit that was to come next, the Elijah that was to make straight the paths of the Lord, just like John the Baptist did, what was it? To turn the hearts. So Moses and Paul set up the scriptures, they set up the tenets of faith, and the Elijah spirit was the one. Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, and Branham were used to turn the hearts of the people back to that Shema faith in God, that true heartfelt belief, that desire for God, to have your heart burning and on fire. If you think about the way that we're taught about the Laodicean and church age, the scripture says that they are lukewarm. Lukewarm. So it would take a John the Baptist, an Elijah, and Elisha to set the people on fire again, to have them on fire and burning for God, to have them ready for God's next movement. So you have Moses and Paul that started the work, and Elijah and Elisha and John the Baptist to turn the people back to those same scriptures. So the two witnesses at the end have to do that same thing to prepare people in order to be able to be ready for Christ. What is that? That is that you have to have a Moses there to establish the foundational doctrines of the, maybe you call it the Jewish Christian church. When God turns his attention back to the Jewish people and to the 144,000, to when Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah to them, there has to have been a Moses who would establish the doctrines of that faith. And there has to be an Elijah that would stir up the people to turn their hearts and prepare them for that. Thank you for listening.